I don't know if you've got enough to worry about, but certainly if you want to add to your list of worries, you can add monkeypox to your list of worries. World Health Organization declaring monkeypox as a public health emergency of international concern. The last time they did that, it was called COVID. And that was in January 2020. Are they overreacting, or is this something we should really be worried about? Dr. Lisa Bonadonna is the group executive of biologicals at Aspen Pharmacare. What is monkeypox exactly, Lisa, and how do we catch it?
So monkeypox is a condition that is caught from a virus in exactly the same family as smallpox, which is something that will be familiar to maybe some of our older listeners, Bruce. And it's in the same family, has some similar presentation. So you get a bit of a fever, you get swollen glands, and it has a classic kind of skin rash presentation. So normally what happens is since about the 1970s, we've been picking up cases of monkeypox, predominantly in West African countries, but sometimes in Central Africa. But what's different about the situation at the moment and why it's been declared a public health incident is really because back in May, we had about 1,700 cases that then ramped up to about 4,000, including in North. And now at the end of July, we're looking at about 18,000 cases in 75 countries. So that is exactly sort of the progression, Bruce.
How is it transmitted? Is it in terms of physical bodily fluid, or can it be done through aerial spray as we become used to using this terminology with COVID? What's the mechanism for transmission?
It's close contact, so sort of skin on skin, bodily fluids. There is and sort of touching of the pustules and lesions can lead to contamination and transmission. It is possible that respiratory droplets with infected material, sort of blood or other bodily fluids, can also aid transmission from person to person.
So it's quite hard to transmit. COVID. It's not COVID. It's not like somebody sneezes and you walk through the cloud
exactly.
5 minutes later. This isn't as terrifying then, but we should also, most of us, have protection provided we were adequately vaccinated as small kids. If it's related to smallpox, then we should get some protection, surely, from those scars that we bear with pride on our arms from when we were little.
So you're quite correct. There is some cross protection, not 100%, but there is some cross protection. And in fact, the two available vaccines are produced from a kind of smallpox source. So there is a commonality there. There is some cross protection. But with the eradication of smallpox, as you know, Bruce, we are now in a situation where we do have a significant percentage of the population, the younger population, who've not had that vaccine and therefore are potentially susceptible to monkeypox.
That's an important one because, I was under the impression mussels, mumps, rubella, MMR, mussels, measles, mumps and rubella. those MMR vaccines then don't necessarily include a smallpox vaccine. So there's an opportunity here to perhaps have a look and check your kids' vaccination certificates to make sure that they have got some protection. Because the last thing you want is anybody getting these dreadful pustules. I've seen some pictures of them and you describe them as a bit of a rash. I don't know. The pictures I've seen are either not real or they're terrifying. Of these quite nasty outbreaks. And these things are scarring. These things, when one looks at pictures of medieval etchings of people with scarred and pockmarked faces as a result of the diseases like smallpox, the survivors were left with marks forever.
Exactly, and hence the term pox, right, that we are all familiar with, and it's sort of cowpox, smallpox, monkeypox all have this potential consequence, which is the pockmark that you see on the skin following the lesions, which are not only unsightly, but they're also very, very unpleasant.
How are we doing with vaccine supplies then when it comes to monkeypox? We know of the global shortages during the pandemic of COVID. Are we facing similar problems now?
So from the work that I have done to sort of try and get a bit of a handle on this, it seems that we have two manufacturers who have, one has only approval in the US, one has approval in the US and also from the European agency. And they do have supplies and I at different levels. One of them has about 30 million dose capacity per year, the other about 18 million. So you can see sort of in the global context, Bruce, they're quite modest. I do understand there is one company has a stockpile, but they haven't disclosed where or how much, which is one of the reasons why Aspen, we felt it important to just flag the investments we've made that have led to our capacity of kind of filling and finishing up to 300 million doses of vaccine a year, and that was in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, with that investment, our upskilling and our learning, we stand ready to support whatever is needed to build the appropriate amount of vaccine to kind of tackle monkeypox, which is the latest in what will be, and unfortunately, a never-ending cycle of what is the next pandemic threat for us as humans.
If you were asked right now to provide monkeypox vaccine, how soon could you get the first vial off the production line?
So the first thing that would have to happen is companies with the vaccines available would need to reach out and sort of say, yes, we could really use the capacity that you have at Aspen. There would be a period where we'd need to sort of dig into the technical aspects and the specifications, make any modifications we would need, talk to the regulators, you know, in South Africa and globally to sort of find a process, and then we could
Months rather than days or weeks.
So it would definitely not be days. I think weeks would be a stretch, but months, I'm confident that, you know, if the call was made, Aspen has already proven itself very, very capable of responding quickly. So I think that would be a fair assessment of an initial opportunity to start manufacturing and supply.
If necessary, they're on call. Dr. Lisa Bonadonna, Group Executive for Biologicals, they call them vaccines, at Aspen Pharmacare, on the line to us from Durban.